back to the podcast, Brian Pruitt. Live Elevated with Brian Pruitt. I'm stoked to get into this episode. And it's going to be something that just came up on the car ride to the studio this morning. I feel like God placed something in my mind, on my heart, and it has to do with where you set your mind. Where we set our mind determines the results we're going to get in life. It determines the reality that we live in. It determines our results, our fulfillment, our satisfaction. It determines so much. And so I'm going to be talking about the parable of the talents that Jesus shared in his lifetime on earth and just the power in that. There's three scenarios, and we'll get into, you know, the differences and what I feel like I drew from it this morning that can apply to your life and my life, and we can get better results, hopefully. The hope is that we can get better results by changing what we set our minds on. And if we get better results in life, in our day, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, not only do we benefit, but our families benefit and our future benefits, and ultimately humanity, people around us, our communities, our world benefits when we set our mind on things above. So with that said, let's jump right into it. I was in the car and I'm talking to God. I'm just like, you know, how can I be helpful today? How can I change for the better? What do I need to see that I can't see right now? You know, because side note, I feel like lately I've been in some sort of resistance to creating. I've been in some sort of state where there's some resistance to creating and making content on YouTube, making content on the podcast, and making Instagram content. And that's like the lowest level of creation these days, because now I put more time and energy into YouTube, you know, because it's longer format. I'm able to just put out more quality stuff, I feel, connect deeper with you, versus Instagram. It's very fast and magazine stuff. So I'm like, why am I having trouble with Instagram? It's like the quickest, like people see it, done, swipe, and forget about it in like 2 seconds. And yet I'm over here overthinking, like, oh, what should I post? Like, oh, should I maybe try this kind of series of posting? Like, oh, I don't know if that would that resonate, or should I just do this because I see that guy doing it? Like all these different things. And so it's affecting how I would create. So last night I sat down and I just said, okay, God, I'm gonna spend 15 minutes and just write. I'm going to journal. I'm going to type up whatever comes to mind. And it was like this stream of consciousness, I like to call them, actually. So I'm going to pull it up for this podcast, because why freaking not? It's entitled Asking Holy Spirit, The Reflection. And so I'm not going to read everything. It's a pretty big paragraph, so I'm gonna spare you that. But basically, my prayer was David's prayer at the end, and it's, search me, God, know my heart, test me and see my thoughts, see if there's any way in me that doesn't compute, it's not aligned with you, it's not right and aligned with you, and lead me in the way everlasting, lead me into still waters, lead me into your path, teach me your ways. Help me come back to alignment with you, because if that's off, I don't care how hard you freaking push. I don't care how hard I would try to force and try to, you know, just overpower things to fit my plan and my will. It would be useless. It would be completely done in vain. And so how can I come back to realignment? How can I realign with God to come into that divine alignment? And then that's when everything just flows freely. It flows effortlessly. When you allow God's Spirit to overflow your life, your mind, your heart, your reality, everything becomes effortless. And that doesn't mean you stop moving, stop growing. No, in actuality, you'll do that naturally. You'll do that effortlessly. Growth and movement forward and progress and expansion and multiplication and living by faith and serving and helping and healing and bringing life and solutions to everything and everyone around you is the natural byproduct. It's the natural next step of doing life with God, because you just say, hey, I give up in my own power. I'm looking to you and use me as a vessel. Just flow through me and accomplish whatever you want to accomplish through me. So in that sense, you and I are best when we are an empty vessel, an empty hose, if you will, that is open and receptive and willing, most importantly, willing to let God flow through us for the good of ourselves and others around us and the world at large. So a couple of takeaways with that said, with all that being said, I want to create more and consume less. So I want to create more and consume less. I feel like there's a really beautiful balance in life. It's the inhale and the exhale. It's the day and the night. You know, it's the yin yang, if you will. It's the give and take. It's the give and receive of life. And so if I find myself reading, consuming, scrolling, all these different things, and I'm not doing, then I am going to be out of balance. It's like just eating nonstop. It's a better example. Eating nonstop, consuming food nonstop. And if you don't move, if your body doesn't flow and the energy doesn't move and that food dissipates, you just get overweight and you just get fat and you get lazy and it's hard to move. It's hard to flow freely. And so I don't want to consume over. I don't want to overly consume. I want to consume, but I want to create. So I want to consume, but I want to move. I want to create. I want to take a risk. I want to take a step. And that's the balance of life, the inhale, exhale, night and day, yin, yang. That's what I want to do more of. I said more life and less distractions. I had an idea the other day that kingdom living, living life with God, is really just undistracted living. And so I want to eliminate distractions, or at the very least, just mitigate them, minimize them. You know, I think it's maybe naive to think you can eliminate distractions, because that's an ongoing process, but I definitely can minimize them. I definitely can decrease the distractions. And part of that is sticking to a calendar, creating and sticking to a calendar agenda, also time blocking, and just being where my feet are. If I'm working, work. If I am editing, edit. If I am creating, create. If I am working out, work out. If I'm with my baby girl, be with baby girl. If I'm with my wife, be with my wife, you know? I want to be where I am. I want to be where my feet are. And that is the art of living, is to just be present. Be here now. Be in the present moment. Be in the most powerful state you could ever be in is right here, right now. Because so often I just am living in the past in reflection, or maybe regret, or just trying to overanalyze things in the past. Or maybe I'm looking to the future and maybe worrying, or looking to the uncertainty. All these different things, they take away from right here, right now. This is when life is happening, right now. So if we can get really good at being in the present, living in the moment, we will get a lot more out of life. And in that sense, you may live a fuller, deeper life, more fulfilling and abundant life, living 10 years total from now, versus someone who lives 100 more years but is distracted and is not living present in the moment and is not getting all there is out of each and every moment. So I also wrote down, pay attention to what you pay attention to. Step one is always awareness. I teach my clients this with food, with workouts, with mindset. We don't know what we don't know. And so reflecting is huge, because it gives us the awareness of what we are doing and paying more attention to what we are paying attention to. If we aren't aware of our subconscious thought life and how it's guiding our life, our lives, then we remain powerless to our subconscious and we'll call it fate. But if we can wake up to the power we have as human beings, created in God's image, to create through our words, thoughts, and actions, we can find there's a lot more power in our control than we have, or than we thought, rather. We have a lot more control than we think because we have control of so much. Thought, words, actions, that's an amazing slew of reality creators and reality enhancers and reality modificators, if that's a word. But truly, it's powerful. And then I said, let your light shine. Resist the urge to dim your light for anyone or anything. I said, God, I am yours. And I said, not my will, but your will be done. So just a few thoughts. I hope that's encouraging, maybe. Those are some takeaways from reflecting. And I think the biggest takeaway is you watching, you listening, reflect more. John C. Maxwell says, reflection turns experience into insight. And the unexamined life, I think it's Socrates or someone like that, Greek Stoic, the unexamined life is not a life worth living, because you're just kind of floating around and hoping for the best and not learning from your experience. So really, truly living intentional is successful living. Living in a reflective state, meditative state, contemplative state is successful living. And so, yeah, I hope that makes sense. I was going to say one more thing on that, but I lost it. I pray for increased memory capacity. But anyway, okay, so what I want to leave you with is what hit me in the car this morning. And it's the parable, like I said, of the three talents. And this is Jesus' teaching on, in my opinion, correct living, the right way to live. And that is a life lived by faith and by trust, a life of risk-taking, because you know life is happening for you. And if you just move forward, then you already have made more progress than the person who is afraid to move forward one step. So one small step in the right direction is actually success versus the life lived in fear and overanalyzing and scarcity. It's success if you just break through that. So the parable is, in short, about three servants, and the master gives, let's say, the talents. It's a monetary thing. So, you know, we can look at it as money, or we can look at it as actual gifts. I think it's definitely the way it's written. I feel Jesus would say it's open to interpretation. I mean, make it your own, and the talent can be applied to the gifts you have inherently, your business, your relationships, your time, your attention, and of course your money. So the first servant was given five talents. And he said, hey, go multiply it, go be fruitful, you know, turn this into something more, and I'll get back and I'll see what you did. Then to the second servant, he said, here's two talents. And I'm hoping I get these numbers correct, but the essence of the parable still remains, regardless of the details. And so he said, same thing, be fruitful, multiply this. You have two, see what you can do with that, and I'll be back soon. The last and third servant, he gave one to and said the same thing, said, I'll see you in a little bit, peace. The master gets back sometime into the future and sees the three servants he gave, the talents to, the money to, the gifts to, and he asks them what they did with his gift, what he did with the talent he gave them. The first servant said, Master, I've multiplied, I've doubled your gift. I've turned it into 10. Second servant, I turned your two into, two into four, right? Doubled it. And the third servant, so both the first two doubled, multiplied, lived by faith, and took chances and risks. The third servant said, Lord, Master, I was scared. I was fearful. I wouldn't want to lose the one thing I had, so I hid it. And I didn't do anything with it. I played it safe. And the long story short is that servant got excluded from his team, his family. You know, he got sent and saying, you were disobedient. I told you to multiply it. Like, what'd you do? You lived fearfully? Like, you should have just put it to the bank and you would have got interest. So it would have been like a percentage of multiplication by the time I got back. And so here's what I got from that in the car. And essentially the truth and the mind shift, the reframe is this. A lot of people talk about mindset. We know mindset's important, but it truly is, like, reframe that even word. What you set your mind on all day long, all week long, all year long, determines your entire life. There's two ways to set your mind. One is on heavenly things. The other is on earthly things. And let me break that down. Heavenly things, meaning, you know, you can set your mind on faith, on God, right? Trust that an overwhelming sense of trust that God's got your back, that God is for you, that God is with you. And as you wake up to that reality is true. Like, who you are in Christ is your true reality. And so you really do lack nothing in Christ. We lack nothing in Christ. We have all that we need in Christ. But we forget that truth. And so we sometimes fall back into that third servant, his mentality. And that is setting his mind on earthly things, limited living, scarcity mindset. He set his mind on fear, on the what ifs, on, oh, if I mess up or if I don't do this or that, I'll lose, I'll be a failure, fill in the blank. He set his mind on limited living, on the what ifs, on the negatives, on the fear. He was fearful. And what did that eventually get him? He lost what he had. Even what he had, which was less than the other two, he lost it. But what did the other two servants do? That is who you and I are striving to be. They set their minds not on exactly what they had necessarily, because that's part of the fear that played a role in the last servant, holding on to it and hiding it, because he's like, all I have is this one little talent. And so I better keep it. I better hold on to it. But the other two, they set their minds not on what they had, but on faith, on the possibilities, on the potential. They set their minds on the what if it turns out better than I could expect or imagine. And at the end of the day, worst case scenario, at least when my master comes back and maybe I do lose it all, at least I'll tell my master I did everything I could to the best of my knowledge and ability to invest and to try to multiply what you gave me. I did not play it safe and I did not remain in fear, but I lived by faith and I took a risk. I took the steps and I tried to make something of what you gave me. At the very least, at the worst case scenario, the master, in my opinion, would have said, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful in showing up. You were faithful in taking the risk. You were faithful in taking the step forward, no matter what the outcome may be, right? Because it doesn't always work out the way we want it to or envision it. But we can always be like the first two servants and know that life is happening for us. Living by faith, not by fear. Living in that trusting state in God and life happening for us and God being with us, God working all things together for our good, God taking our risks and our abilities and our efforts and multiplying them by 10, by 50, by 100x. So that's my message to you, is set your mind on things above. Set your mind not on what is, but what will be and what could be, on the potential, on the abundance that is God, and the abundance of that is what we have in Christ. Psalm 23, he makes us lie down in abundance, in green pastures. Everywhere around us is abundance. We have everything we need and more. But we are distracted. We're looking at this and that, and we get distracted by life and all the distractions and complications. It's so easy, I'm with you. But if we could just be still and know that I am God, that God is God, and that while we are not God, it's hard to tell where we start and God, or we end and God starts, if to live is Christ and to die is gain. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It's really hard to know where we end and God starts. So everything that's true of Christ is true of us. And with that said, we can live in that abundant state. Will it always seem like that? Will life always feel as if we have everything we need? Well, no, maybe not. There's always illusions and lies and distractions that pop up and cover the reality. They put a veil over our eyes. But the thing about faith is that it cuts that veil. It tears down the veil, and you're able to see clearly ultimate reality. If you ask God to give you higher perspective today and help you set your mind on things above, set your mind on faith, on potential, on God's power, God's love, God's spirit working through you as you're willing, as you're open, as you're obedient, as you're surrendered, as you're humble. Watch what he will do with anything you got. If you got one talent, if you got five talents, 10 talents, doesn't matter. Whatever you have is exactly what you're supposed to have. And then as you give it away, as you open up and allow God to multiply supernaturally your natural gifts and talents and abilities, that's where life gets fun. That's where things get interesting. And don't miss this. It is not just for your good. It's not just for your reputation. It's not just for your happiness, although those things are great. It's for God's glory and for the good of everybody around you. So you winning at the expense of anyone else is not true winning. But you winning in a way that gives God the glory, gives God back what is rightfully his, and lifts, inspires, encourages everybody around you, that, my friend, is true success. And that's what we're made for, doing life with God, living by faith, taking steps, taking risks, showing up, staying open, continuing to seek, setting our minds on things above, and remaining in that path. So yeah, that's the podcast. So I hope that was helpful. That's some of the stuff I'm dealing with and wrestling with right now, and progressing forward, becoming more of. I'm trying to let go of the need to be perfect, to not make any mistakes, to try to be like everyone else, and stay true to who God made me to be, and stay true to what I feel is on my heart, and stay true to whatever is in alignment with God. So that is it. Guys, Jesus is incredible. I've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, been studying on different things, the Lord's Prayer, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. It's insanely beautiful. So if you have not, and you're burnt out on religion, or you're just looking for something to read, go to Matthew 5, read the Sermon on the Mount, and just immerse yourself in the teachings of Christ. It will change your life. But that's really it. I'll probably put this as a part of my YouTube. Maybe it's a one-off episode as well. But thanks for being here. Thanks for watching. Share this with a friend. Leave a comment. Shoot me a DM. Do whatever you want. But as always, I appreciate you. I love you. Thanks for spending time with me. And thanks for renewing your mind, setting your minds on things above. So with that said, you were made to live elevated, become more you. So stay on path. Stay the course, keep showing up, and keep becoming more you. Peace.